call 882-7360. It's my hope and my prayer that between with the Christians in this area obeying God and giving as the Lord commanded, that when the people ask that they have a need, that Christians can respond to that and do the will of the Father which is in heaven. And as I said this morning, as I try and say every week, I wish that nothing would pass through my hands, that when people call in, I can just announce that there is a need and then match up the givers with the receivers. I began this morning speaking, we're teaching out of the Old Testament, and we're talking about how Moses was given a commandment by God to do certain things, and he was very doubtful and he was very hesitant about doing the things that the Lord told him to do, because he realized that they were very difficult things, that it was something that you know, us quote-unquote mere mortals, it would be very difficult for us to do. God commanded Moses to go into the land of Egypt, a land where he was accused of murder, a place where he had killed an Egyptian there, and it was a place where his people were in bondage. And God told him to go into that land and to lead his people forth. Now Moses was very hesitant about doing this. He kept saying, you know, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, you've put something on me I can't bear. And he kept saying that he could not do it. And every time he said he couldn't, God gave him something to help him along the way. And like I said this morning, I'm a firm believer in what I heard a preacher say one time, to where God guides, he provides. If the Lord tells you to do something, and the Lord commands it in his word, my friend, if you'll just set down the old personal will and say, yes, Lord, thy will be done in my life, and if we decide that we're going to follow after the Word and do what God commands us in the Word, he will provide everything that we need to go on and do the commandment that the Lord has set us to doing. Now, we know the old story of Moses, how he did go in, and God did do the things that he promised. He promised he would send plagues, and there were many plagues that went against the land of Egypt until Pharaoh finally said, you know, I'll let the people go. And when Moses went down, he was doubtful that even the people would believe that God had spoken to him. But he gave him signs and wonders to prove that God had spoken to him. With the leprous hand, as we said this morning, with the rod of God that turned to a serpent and which he held over the Red Sea to part it. All these miracles and all these things that God did, he said he would do. He promised Moses that if he would go down into Egypt and lead the people out, that God would lead him forth, that God would do the miracles in Egypt, that God would send the plagues against the Pharaoh and against the Egyptians, and that God would do these miracles to lead them out. And the whole point of that, in another place in the Old Testament, the reason that God did that is to essentially to get up a reputation for God and his people, to where God would be respected among the heathen nations, to where even if a person was not a Christian, I'll put it in New Testament terms, that if a person was not a Christian, that they would respect the house of God, that they would respect the people of God, and they would know, even if they weren't saved in themselves, they would know where salvation comes from. They would know where the gifts of God come from. They would know where every good thing that's found in this world comes from. And I've heard sinner and saint alike, I've heard sinners say it, that, you know, even growing up, they were raised in a house and their parents were in sin and they were in sin. And even in that environment where the family was not a non-Christian environment, they were still taught that they were not to deface the house of God, not to throw eggs at the people, or not to, you know, drink on the property or anything like that. They were taught that the church, even though they weren't Christian, that the church was not a place to be horsing around. And my friend, it's just like what the Word of God said. God did all these things to establish this reputation, I'll call it, that he has. Because God's people are a chosen generation. They're a peculiar people. God set them apart. And if we're Christians today, my friend, we can be a part of those peculiar people. We are supposed to be doing things that other people don't, because God has set his people apart. Now, to be set apart, my friend, God has commanded us certain things that we need to be doing. And those things that God commanded us might seem impossible to mere mortals, quote unquote. It might seem too hard for us to do. I mean, I've heard people teach that you can't do these things that God commanded because it's just impossible for men to do these things. And I'll give you a couple examples as we go along, but I want you to keep in mind that no matter what God commands, he always gives the necessary things, the miracles, the powers, whatever is needed to accomplish that task. If God has commanded you to do it, God will keep up his end of the bargain. All right, let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 12. Jesus commanded us, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus commanded, while he was on earth, he commanded his disciples that they would do greater works than even Jesus had done, that they would have these works in their life. Now, what did Jesus do? Jesus went from town to town, and in all the world there that he was exposed to, he preached the Word of God. And we know that the Great Commission says to go ye into all the world and preach the kingdom of God. But there are other things that Jesus did. Jesus had lived a life in God, and he had signs and wonders that followed his word. When he said God cared for you, he didn't just say, you know, be ye warmed and be ye filled. My friend, when people were hungry, he took loaves and fishes and fed the multitudes. When people were sick, he laid hands on them and he healed them. When people were oppressed of the devil, my friend, he broke those bonds of wickedness. He broke the yokes of affliction, and he helped those people. He didn't just say, you know, you need to do these things. My friend, Jesus helped them. He did many wondrous miracles, but he didn't speak of himself. He didn't say, I'm doing it. He gave every bit of credit to the Father which is in heaven. My friend, God had led him into that life. He said he needs to be about his Father's business. He said that at the age of 12, that he needed to be about his Father's business. And that's what he did. He was about the Father's business. And what did he command us in John chapter 14, verse 12? He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, my friend. If God commands us and he leads us into the situation, he'll test us. If God commands us to do something, my friend, we need to be doing it. If we see someone sick and afflicted and God speaks to our hearts and say, you know, if you'll go over there and you'll lay hands on that person, as I've commanded in the Word of God, in James 5:14, I believe. Is there any sick among you? Let him call upon the elders of the church, that they may anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will lift them up, the Bible says. My friend, the Bible commands if we see the sick and afflicted that we are to lay hands on them. And you see, that's just like Moses. God commanded Moses to do something that seemed impossible. But he promised him, if you'll do it, if you'll try it, I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll keep up my end of the bargain. And my friend, if you feel the Spirit of the Lord urging you to do something, to lay hands on the sick, or to do something of that nature, to witness to somebody, my friend, if the Lord speaks you to a witness to a lost person, then he will give you the words to say. You might not have ever witnessed to somebody before. You might be afraid. You might think that you can't ever do that. But if you will do the will of God and you will obey the voice of God, my friend, he will keep up his end of the bargain. He will fulfill those promises. He'll give you the power to speak to someone, to witness to someone. If you see the sick and afflicted and God tells you to lay hands on them, my friend, God will do those things that he said he would do. Now, what is the power that God gave us to do this when he said, greater works shall ye do? In verse 16, right after Jesus commanded that we would do the works that he did and greater works, here's how. Here's the power that God gave. Just as God gave Moses the rod of God, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, verse 26 of chapter 14, it says, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. My friend, if God commands you to speak to a lost person and lead them to the Lord, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. If you believe that the Lord has filled you and you believe the Lord has come into your life, then you can look for God's direction. If God leads you to speak to someone who's lost, he'll give you the words to say. He'll bring to your remembrance even the words. I'm sure that preacher that spoke to you as a Christian when you were still in sin, and the preacher that spoke to you that led you in a sinner's prayer, my friend, the Lord will bring that to remembrance, and you can lead others to the Lord. Now, there are other things that God commanded us and that Jesus commanded us to do, and these things might even seem a little bit harder than what I've been speaking about so far, because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, if I turn over there real quick, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. My friend, that's a commandment of God. We're not supposed to be out here horsing around in sin. Some people, I've heard some people say that once you get saved, that, you know, you can't ever be lost again, so what's the difference? You can go out here and fool around or mess around or do all kinds of sins, and it's okay because you're going to be saved and you can't be lost. My friend, the Bible says to be ye perfect, even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that might scare a lot of people out there, but my friend, it's in the Bible. My friend, it's there. It's not something I've made up. Jesus said it. I just read it. But you might say, well, I can't do that. It's impossible for a man to live a perfect life. It's impossible. I can't do that. My friend, Moses thought that what he had to do was impossible. But God promised him if he would make the attempt that God would keep up his end of the bargain. And my friend, what the Bible kind of altogether summarizes is we need to strive for perfection. The Bible says that the church was set up for the perfecting of the saints. And my friend, if we strive for that perfection, then, you know, Hebrews 6:1 says to let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You've heard the story of repentance. You've been saved, my friend. That's not the end of the road. It's time to go on. It's time to go on in this walk with God and not be stagnant and sit still. But it's time to go on and strive for the perfection that Jesus wanted us to go for. And my friend, God will keep up his end of the bargain. If we strive for those things that God has commanded us to do, let's turn over to Romans chapter 3. My friend, God, it's nothing is impossible with God, the Bible says. And Romans chapter 3 tells how that we can achieve that, not achieve, how we can receive that righteousness that we're supposed to be striving for, that perfection. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all men and upon all them that believe. My friend, the Bible says that righteousness comes by faith. If you believe that God has saved you, my friend, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. If you believe that God can make you a righteous person through Jesus Christ, again, by grace, through faith, my friend, God will keep up his end of the bargain. And we can work toward that perfection which comes by faith. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, to him that worketh not, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. My friend, just as salvation is by grace through faith, righteousness, this perfection that we're supposed to strive for, is also by grace through faith. That's got a whole lot to do with it, is believing. First of all, believing that God can do that for you. When you were out in sin, the first thing towards salvation is we had to confess that we were sinners and then believe that God could make us saved. It's the same thing. We realize that we're human, that we're in an imperfect form, and we have to believe that if we strive for you know, to do the things of God, that God can present us perfect. And Jesus said that he will present us perfect before the throne of God. There's not going to be any sin before God, my friend. God is going to present his people perfect before his heavenly Father. Now again, like I said, righteousness is by grace through faith. And grace is unmerited favor with God. And in Rome, there was a few people in this time period when Paul lived, when he was writing Romans, that said, well, you know, they were still trying to get to that sinful nature. And they said, well, you know, we ought to continue sinning so that God can keep forgiving us and, you know, they let the grace flow. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. My friend, the Bible says right there, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. My friend, if we're supposed to be Christians, we're supposed to be trying to live right. It's not something that we can say, well, we can't do, so we shouldn't even try. My friend, the Bible says to try. To be ye perfect, the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying that we can be perfect in ourselves. I'm not saying that. We're still in human, fleshly form, and we cannot do it of ourselves. We cannot. We are not going to achieve perfection by ourselves. That's the reason I had to correct myself a minute ago. We cannot work for perfection and achieve it on our own. It's by faith. Just as much as you can't save yourself, my friend, you can't make yourself perfect. But in both cases, we can believe that God can save us, and we can believe that God can make us righteous and perfect. How is that possible? My friend, turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that is not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Listen to that. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. My friend, if you strive for that perfection and you believe God can give it to you, the Bible says the wicked one can touch you not. I've heard some people say, you know, the devil's been on my back all week. But here the Bible says if we strive for that perfection, that the wicked one cannot touch us. How is that possible? I'll sum it up with just these words. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It all lies in Jesus. Our salvation by grace through faith is only possible because of Jesus. The righteousness and the perfection that we will have when we stand before God is only possible by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we can do without Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And that holds true. There is nothing that we can do in ourselves, but through God, if we just believe, just as Moses did in the Old Testament, if we believe that we go into that land of Egypt, if we go into that land, that holy walk with God, if we believe that we can, if we go in there by faith, just like God said, my friend, he will keep up his end of the bargain. And my friend, just as Jesus commanded, we can be perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect through the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it's time for me to go, so let me make a few announcements. Now, you are invited to come to the Free Pentecostal Church, where Arthur York Jr. is the pastor. The church is located near downtown Harriman, on the hill behind the Robo Car Wash. The regular services are Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening at 7 p.m. And tomorrow night, the Cornerstones from Sevierville will be singing at the church. Now, I haven't heard them for myself, but Sister Bethel at the church says they're one of the best Spirit-led gospel groups that she's ever heard. So don't forget, that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And you can mark this on your calendars that we have a gospel singing service the first Saturday of the month. So next week, July the 7th, the Crossroads from Crossville and the Hill family from Eagle Furnace will be singing at the church. So, you know, be sure and invite someone during the week and come out and enjoy a night of praise and fellowship with us at the church. Now, as I remind you each and every week to keep in mind John chapter 4 and verse 24, which says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
This has been the Spirit and Truth Broadcast, sponsored by the Free Pentecostal Church of Harriman. Address all correspondence to Brother David Spates, 1050 Rome Street, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748.